Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we have joining us is Tom Nash. Now, Tom has been in Catholic apologetics for over 35 years, and he has served as a theology advisor for EWTN and is currently a contributing apologist for Catholic Answers. His book is entitled, To Whom Shall We Go? The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church. And this beautiful book is available at ewtnrc.com. You can go out to our website, .catholic.com. I love that cover. I love the title. It is a great book.
Yeah, and I love the content. And the first show we got, we just spoke about apostolic succession. That was almost, it predominated the whole show. I want to mention other topics that are here, just in case we don't get to them. He who hears you hears me. God's use of human leaders throughout history. Knowing God's saving word, the Bible alone, or scripture, tradition, and the magisterium. What must I do to be saved? Successfully navigating the highways to heaven. Do this in memory of me. The fundamental importance of the sacrifice of the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. How many airborne divisions does the church militant got? A celestial army of angels and saints. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, preparing for heaven. To whom shall we go? Jesus has given his Catholic Church the words and mission of eternal life. So if we don't get to all that, that's what's in this book. It's excellent for strong Catholic believers to know your faith better, how to articulate it biblically, how to share with your family and children, maybe a gift to give to our evangelical brothers and sisters, non-denominational people, why we believe the Catholic Church is unique and the church that Jesus Christ established. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome. Well, we're so happy to have Tom Nash with us today because Tom is a Catholic apologist for over 35 years. He has served as a theology advisor for EWTN and is currently a contributing apologist for Catholic Answers. His book is entitled, To Whom Shall We Go? The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church. And this great book is available at ewtnrc.com. Today, as we celebrate the 43rd anniversary, I think back on the days when Mother used to do religious catalog, when she was selling all of the religious items and all those beautiful holy reminders that she wanted in your home and mine, and much are in our
43rd anniversary of the pulling of the switch, first broadcast of EWTN. Tom, what are you thinking about on a day like this regarding EWTN's anniversary?
I'm blessed to be here and to be associated with EWTN, to have worked for EWTN. And I have a vague recollection of my dad saying, hey, look at this, the newspaper back in 1981 when I was a college student. I have some vague recollection saying, hey, it looks like there's something started with this Catholic network. And then I remember Mother becoming more prominent in New Covenant magazine, the Charismatic Renewal magazine, seeing her on the cover there. Then I remember as a first-year grad student, 1985, the fall of, actually a second-year grad student by that time, at the University of Missouri in Journalism, Mother and Chuck is going to be on 60 Minutes. I'm telling my classmates, hey, come on, 60 Minutes was so huge. It still is a major TV program, but even cable was smaller then,
right.
The networks were bigger in that sense. But Mother comes on, and Morley Safer, the veteran CBS correspondent, and being able to see Mother and how she had done what she had to build this network, to start this network, to sustain it, was something. And then the year after that, I'm working for a TV station, WAKA in Montgomery, Alabama, the CBS affiliate, and I came up to couple times mm-hmm. to the network and met Mother Angelica in person. Mm. I have what I believe is a second-class relic because Mother said, Jesus loves you, as she would do on a photo of herself. So I got that. I met Sister Gabriel, who was one of the sisters who were prominent, the Vietnamese sister, yeah. in the big program on 60 Minutes. So getting to see them, and they still had the barnyard animals. In the back, you didn't have that going, the little driveway yeah. to the street behind us, Belmont. It was more, that primitive isn't the best word, but it just, I like the bucolic atmosphere mm-hmm. of having the animals, and they would roam around, and yeah. it was beautiful, and to be able to go visit here back then in 86 was huge, and then to be able to come to work for mm-hmm. EWTN 20 years later under the leadership of Colin Donovan yes. at the theology department, I know that we make a big difference. This network, I think we're going to see when it comes to the general judgment, our particular judgments, that the programs that I helped to work on, including like just St. Giuseppe Mascotti, mm-hmm. a wonderful yes. program. We had to edit some things out, but it was like there's so much good there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that goes all around the world. Yes. And then we're going to learn just how much this network has impacted people because of Mother's trustworthiness to the Lord and following faithfulness. And so,
wow,
what a great
said.
Time to be here.
Wonderfully
well,
said.
I'm so glad you got to share all those beautiful things, and you had history here, which is lovely.
Yeah.
So tell our family, what are your hopes with this beautiful book, To Whom Shall
yeah,
We Go?
Yeah, I hope it has a long shelf life, not just because I wrote it, but because I think it has an impact. And I'm very grateful Scott Hahn at St. Paul Center, Emmaus Road, brought this version of the book back because I think it's a way, because we talk about Jesus in the beginning, it's important for people to encounter Jesus mm-hmm. So that they realize he is God, he is the Savior of all the world, and then also that he did found a church, a visible church, and he works through his church to bring all people together. Mm-hmm. As it says in John 17, that he wants to see that the world, he prays for the church to be one. Of course, the church has unity as one of its four marks, but that we can be visibly manifested as one so that they will know that you have sent me, Father. And so that the world, so they need to see that manifest unity. Otherwise, it's like, where's the unity that we're talking about? And that Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, and yet you guys can't agree with each other. It's another manifestation that the church has existed this long, precisely that Jesus founded it and has sustained it, and he gave a structure. It all goes back to Christ and his divine structure and order and visible authority that goes with it. And of course, the encountering of the sacraments, which yeah. is how we grow in holiness.
Right.
Well, we're going to get to the sacraments. Let's do the saints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because some people, hopefully not within the Catholic Church,
yeah.
but outside of the Catholic Church, see the saints as competitors with Jesus Christ, instead of, as you say,
yeah.
the kind of being dispatched to help our Lord and to help
yeah.
his church.
It's like the army of God, truly. I remember when during World War II, at one point, I quoted in the book, where Stalin says, oh, you know, the Pope, you know, how many divisions does he have, right? And it's like, and as Churchill was, when Churchill heard the comment, he goes, well, the many legions of angels on parade, not mm-hmm. visibly, you know, not easily seen. Mm-hmm. And it's true
wow.
that there is this celestial army. Sometimes people come to realize the reality of God by realizing the reality of evil through exorcisms and things like that, the manifestation of the demonic, which God permits as a grace ultimately to say, hey, this is why you want to
yeah.
be associated with
yeah.
me. And so, yeah, the saints, and people will say, I mean, St. James says in chapter 5 of his epistle that the prayers of a holy man avail
yeah.
much. And it's like, well, okay, if that's the case for one on earth, it's funny how people say go directly to God, but yet they ask others to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not then the saints? And people say, well, that's necromancy, you're contacting the dead. It's like, wait a second. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, that we come to the presence of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, the spirits of the souls who have been made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've been made perfect, then that tells me that they are in a much better position and they are alive to God. He says, I'm the God of the living,
yes.
not of the dead, in Matthew 22. That if they are alive to God, then how come they cannot then therefore in Christ united in Christ, why can't they, like the righteous man on earth, intercede for us all the more, precisely mm-hmm. because they are the spirits of the right. souls who have been made perfect.
Right.
So we see that it's because they are in Christ, and people say, well, how can they hear all these prayers? It's that human. It's like, hey, don't let your human limitations prevent you from seeing that heaven is a place where some of those things don't, the limitations are not present, and that if people have been made perfect, then they can receive in a way that God, I mean, like, how does a person make a miracle? How does somebody raise somebody from the dead? How do you heal the sick, right?
Right.
Precisely because God, not because of you, but because of your cooperation, your disposition, your docility to God, that makes it possible.
Well, mm-hmm. and sometimes in conversion stories and Protestant land, and
yeah.
so is that when people have a conversion, that's when Christianity begins
yeah.
for them. They're not connected to the history.
Yeah.
They're not connected to all of the saints. And then what people do is they tend to create Jesus in their own image.
Mm,
and
to
then
an extent
they
rather, yeah.
move forward in their formation of really, it's just them and me and Jesus are this close. And I don't need any man to speak into my life. I don't need a saint to pray to. Well, the beauty of the saints are holy men and women of God who've gone before us,
yeah.
who have suffered greatly for the faith, who now can come up alongside you and cheer you on, because we are surrounded by a great and, cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, and people could see you coming in, and you had the witness of Mother Angelica personally, that it was her witness as a saint here on earth. You know, we use the term equivocally, that in the sense of canonized and also, but we're all saints insofar as we're baptized and walking with the Lord, that it was her witness here on earth that led so many people back to the church, into the yeah. church, full communion, coming to become Catholic. That, so there's a credibility of the saints, the witness. And also mm-hmm. I just love the whole thing of the saints, that they persevere in the most difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, that you know, three times I asked the Lord to mm-hmm. remove this from me. Mm-hmm. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, which mm-hmm. is perfection, weakness. And that we see whether it's Colby in the death camp, whether it's Cardinal Van Tuan right. in solitary confinement in Vietnam, Damien of Molokai on the, you know, pick your favorite
right.
saint,
right.
St. Thomas More. That this is what attracts me a lot, that when I see that they didn't simply survive but thrive, they became greater in the worst circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a second. You remember old Norman Vincent Peale?
Yep.
The power of positive thinking is only gonna get you so far when everything's been taken away.
Right.
And that's why I also like, it's kind of, people only think silly, but the Grinch who stole Christmas. Remember when he takes everything away mm-hmm. and yet he realized that Christmas is so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they take That's apparently right. everything away, like right. Colby, but they couldn't take the right. interior life that he had with Jesus
right.
Christ. He was a saint, and the saints are testimonies to our testimony of the reality of Christ and his church. And then when they die and go beyond, they can therefore, as it says in Revelation verses 8, 5, verse, chapter 5, verse 8, that they, the elders of the church bringing forward the prayers. And again, it's all in Christ. It's all by the power of Christ. But we are not cut off from him. And
right.
and in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, we have this interconnectivity. Mm-hmm. The ear cannot say to the hand or whichever.
Right. I don't need you.
No,
we
yeah.
Need,
and we're
we
all,
need.
We're all together. And mm-hmm. if we are that much, if we have the power here on earth, how much more would we expect
yes.
in heaven?
And I think
yeah.
that's something so beautiful about Catholicism is that it's a family. You understand
yes.
the family sense, whether it's life, marriage, and the family here on earth, or the communion of saints
yeah.
sharing with one another, that the Catholic Church really brings home family, and not just simply, and it's profound, an individual relationship with Jesus. Some people say, well, you know, some of the Protestant churches are like men's locker rooms. You know, it's just about guys.
Mm.
Here it's men, women, boys, girls, community, family, saints, martyrs.
All kinds of ethnicities, all kinds of state of life.
And we need that so bad.
Yeah, you need the... It's like the old covenant. God has always worked to bring us a community, whether it was the original family of Adam and then ultimately to Noah. We had the couple of Adam and Eve and the Noah and their family and then Abraham with the tribe and, you know, the nation yeah. and the mm-hmm. kingdom. And this is what the church is, that the church is the new covenant fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom of Israel. And there's only one king, and that's Jesus. And yet we have, as we saw in the old covenant, Isaiah 22, I mentioned
yeah.
in the last episode, last show, that there is somebody who's over the house.
Yes.
And he has the keys. And in the Old Covenant, they talk about Isaiah 22, open and shutting. Well, that's what he's doing. He binds and looses. And so it's, again, it is ordered and it goes back to the early church and it is sustained. And if we would expect something to have a history for 2,000 years through thick and thin, precisely because Christ said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we believe in the Catholic Church precisely because of Jesus Christ, not because we think, well, gee, as you say, the men's locker room, boy, we've been holding it together. We've got ourselves a human dynasty.
Right.
No,
right.
Something much greater,
yes.
Which despite our imperfections, he continues, and praise God that he does.
Tom, let's move to the sacraments as the show is moving along so quickly.
Sure.
How are the sacraments in the Catholic Church given by the Lord used in such a beautiful way to unite us more deeply with the Lord and possibly with others?
Yeah, and it's not, this is going back, you know, believers, baptism, people talk about faith alone, and it's like, but they emphasize the importance of believing, and yet as opposed, so that it has to be an act, and yet what Jesus says, it's not simply belief, it's being baptized. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism too, what do they say? What must we do in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost? You know, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is shorthand for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's the gateway to the sacraments. We have these other sacraments, of course, confession, where we can be reconciled, particularly if someone commits mortal sin, but just to grow in holiness. But the Eucharist as the sacrament par excellence, because without the Eucharist, there is no other sacraments, because baptism would have no power. Confirmation, if we didn't have that Paschal sacrifice, the Paschal mystery, which is sacramentally represented at every Mass, where we offer anew the one sacrifice that culminated in everlasting glory in the heavenly sanctuary. So I would just say to people, it's like, if you want a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, then this is what the Eucharist is about. And for my fellow Catholics, I would say, hey, when you go to communion, make sure you're in a state of grace and also be receptive.
Yes.
Like the apostle said, stay with us, Lord, on Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus. That if we say, Lord, be with me and stay with me and help me grow in holiness, and having that receptivity, because we're only going to receive grace to the extent that we are open and asking God humbly to transform us. And that's why I think of Blessed Carlo Acutis, who is going to be canonized next year, the young man, the first millennial saint going to be canonized. His disposition toward the Eucharist, he really demonstrated what is possible and the holiness you can reach precisely because the Eucharist is real and that we have to, though, be open to it and see it as an encounter.
Well said. We're going to hold you over again for the final segment.
Sure.
Let's hope you're enjoying this conversation and learning as we go along here that we might articulate why the Catholic Church is the church that our Lord Jesus Christ established and the best way we could possibly love him and others. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back. We're speaking about To Whom Shall We Go? The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church. Tom Nash, it's really a must read. So Tom, we just want to turn it over to you in 3 minutes left or so. And just what's on your heart? What do you want to share?
Well, as I mentioned in the book of Mother Angelica and the 43rd anniversary, it's all dovetailing quite well today, praise God. That Mother led with the Eucharist. She always was telling people to come to the chapel, encounter Jesus. We were talking in the previous segment about encountering him. And I would just like to say, and I've been saying it, and I'm glad we've had going through the Eucharistic revival here in the United States, is, hey, pastors, Jesus is, if you will, the captain of the team. He is our greatest asset, our greatest leader. He is the founder, of course, he's God. Let's make the Eucharist more accessible. Let's open up our churches and have adoration periodically and invite the town. Everybody say, we believe, do you believe it? Well, we believe it, so come on in and give it a shot. Be open to it. He is present here under the appearances of bread and wine, but it is Jesus Christ, the new covenant Passover lamb. Please come and see. Let's go out too, and as I joke, I've written about taking it to the streets with the Doobie Brothers, taking him to the streets. Let's take our Lord. I've been involved with Eucharistic processions where you have faithful Catholic policemen who are there. Mm-hmm. You have people you pass in cars, and they're making the sign of the cross.
Right.
Let's, if we believe in it, because the devil doesn't sleep, let's mm-hmm. bring Christ to the battleground. Let's bring him to the marketplace. Let's bring him to the public square.
Let's bring him to the abortion mills.
Yes, mm-hmm. and because realizing that all these people, even whoever the politicians are, remembering that our real enemy are not flesh and blood, right. but are the powers and principalities, you know, the spiritual host, the wickedness and the heavenly places, yeah. you know, the prince of this world and whatnot, that it's the devil and everyone else and his demonic minions, everyone else is a prospect for conversion. Yeah. So we oppose them in love as Christ did. As he says, Father, forgive them for what they do from the cross. We ourselves, knowing our need for God's mercy, we want to be ambassadors for Christ's mercy. And therefore, to let people encounter him in the Eucharist. Yes. And Mother Angelica did that so well mm-hmm. for so many years, and it continues. EWTN will continue until the second coming, praise God. And it's the Eucharist is the source in some of the Christian life because it's the source, because it's our power of redemption. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One Paschal Mystery, of course, is the summit. It's a foretaste of heaven.
Yeah. Yes.
I think of the song based on our Lord's words, lift Jesus higher.
Mm.
Lift Jesus higher. Mm. Lift him up for this world to see. And he said, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men
praise
to
God.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and this is what happens at Mass, right? He is
right.
lifted up, and we are reminded that. And the beauty of the Mass is that which he apparently was defeated on Calvary, he rose from the dead,
yes.
and yet he ascends into the heavenly sanctuary
right.
so that he can send the Holy Spirit. And it all holds together historically, theologically, and if we Catholics live it and preach it, and our bishops and priests, et cetera, mm-hmm. all of us, we're going to be much more fruitful because we'll be bringing Jesus to the fight, if you will, and that he's there, that good shepherd who will bring everyone home.
Mm. Tom Nash, thank you so much for being
with
us.
You.
As I said yesterday, you are a vitamin for the church. You are a mineral given to the church for these however many decades now serving the church. Thank you so much.
It's great
to have you back.
Thank God for helping me be that.
To whom shall we go? The biblical case for the Catholic Church. It's an incredible read, very instructive. You always want to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you and to do it with gentleness and respect. Help us here at EWTN to lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the whole world to see. Because if he's lifted up high, he'll draw every man to himself.
Amen.
God bless you. You're never alone. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.